For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site. In Parashas Tetzaveh, it's November the 23rd, and we are on page 476, we're up to Pasuk Tetzvav, that's verse 15. So, last time we discussed the first of the three karbonos that are brought during the Miluim, during these days leading up to the inauguration of the Mishkan. The first was a bull, and that was considered to be a chatas, so it was a sin offering. Now there are two rams. So we're going to have one which will be an ola, a completely burnt offering, and one which will be a shlamim, a peace offering. So first we'll deal with the ola. So the pasuk says, again, Tezvah 15, V'esha'ayo ha'echad tikach, take the one ram, V'samchu Aharon uvana v'sedehem arosh ha'oyol, and Aaron and his sons will lean their hands on the head of the ram. So that was done with the chatas, with the sin offering as well, and that is done with any sacrifice that is brought by an individual. There is a requirement to lean on the animal, to do smicha, to lean on the animal. V'shachat ta'es ha'oyol, you shall slaughter the ram. You shall take its blood. You shall throw it on the altar all around. We discussed this last time, that in this case the blood was thrown all around, but it was only thrown twice against two opposite corners of the altar. Each time blood hit the corner, it splattered to either side of the altar that was adjacent to that corner. So by putting it on two alternate corners, two opposite corners, you ended up getting all four sides with two throws of blood. And the ram you shall cut up to its pieces. There are specific pieces that need to be cut up when you're processing an ola, a completely burnt offering. So it's cut into specific pieces. You shall wash its intestines and its feet, and then place the intestines and the feet on its pieces and on its head. It doesn't mean literally on, it means with. Meaning you take those pieces that you cleaned, which are the intestines and the feet, and you place them together with the rest of the pieces of the animal and its head. You shall burn the entire ram on the altar. Ola hu la Hashem, it is a completely burnt offering to Hashem. Reach nichoach, it is a pleasant
aroma,
right? Which means it's a figure. It obviously, Hashem doesn't have a nose to smell a pleasant aroma. The thing is that it's a pleasant aroma, meaning that it is considered to be a pleasant thing to Hashem that we did what He told us to do. Yisheh la Hashem hu, it is a fire offering to Hashem. Now here, we keep emphasizing how the karbanos, the sacrifices of the miluim, are not exactly the same as a typical sacrifice. So we had some differences between a regular chatas and the chatas that was described last time. And the shlamim, the peace offering we're about to read about, is certainly going to have many differences between this shlamim and the typical shlamim. However, the ola that we just read about now, that actually is consistent with the regular ola. So the ola here is essentially the way an ola is regularly done, which is that the owner of the ola leans upon the animal is slaughtered, the blood is thrown on the altar on all four sides, meaning two throws, which are four, as we've described already, and then the animal is cut into its specific parts. The Torah does not list the specific parts, but the Gemara does, meaning whichever the leg and the front quarters, the rear quarters, or whatever parts of the animals are cut up into specific parts. and then everything is, the parts that need to be washed are washed, and then everything is burned on the altar. The one thing that is not mentioned here is the skinning of the animal. The animal is skinned, the hide is kept by the Kohanim. That's the way it normally works with an Ola, and that would happen here as well. So that is the Ola, and as I said, that follows the regular pattern of what an Ola is supposed to look like, which, when we get to a description of all of the Karbonos in Sefer Vayikra, we will see the Ola described the way it says it over here.
So is this the one that's burned completely and
yes.
consumed?
Yeah.
So it's interesting that you would have to cut it up and do all these specific things.
Yeah. That's the way normally works with an Ola. You cut it up, and then you burn it completely. Yeah. So now we move to the Shlamim. So we're up to Pasuk Yud Tes, verse 19. It's on page 476 for those who are coming in now. 476, Pasuk Yud Tes, verse 19. So now we're going to have really the most unusual of the Karbonos of the Miluim. And we'll see that it also has the most description. You shall take the second ram. Aaron and his sons will lean their hands on the head of the ram. That is consistent with a regular carbon. You shall slaughter the ram. You shall take from its blood. And you shall place it on. Now, here I need with how they translate it here. They put it on the middle of the ear of Aaron, the Altnuch Ozen Banav, and the middle of the ear of his sons, Hayamanis, the right ear. So it's the middle of the right ear of Aaron and his sons. A little bit of blood is placed over there. Ve'al Bohen Yadam Hayamanis, and on the thumb of their hands, the right one, the right hand thumb of each of them, ve'al bohen raglam hayimonis, and the right big toe of each one of them. The word for big toe and the word for thumb in Hebrew are the same. Bohen, it means the large digit. So it's the same word. We have a different, we call one a thumb and one we call a big toe. But it's the same Hebrew word. It's the large digit on the hand and the large digit on the foot. In all the cases, it's the right hand side. So that's, you place the blood on them, and then throw the blood on the altar all around. This will follow the same pattern of two applications of blood on the mizbeach, which are four, because you throw the blood at the corner and it goes to either side, so you end up with all four sides getting blood on them. So there is an application of blood to the middle of the right ear, the right thumb, and the right big toe. Then, v'lakachtam min hadam, you shall take from the blood, ashal amizbeach, which is now on the altar, because you threw the blood on the altar, so now there's blood on the altar. You'll take from the blood that's on the altar, u'mishemen amishcha, and also you'll take from the anointing oil. So you'll take some blood and some oil, v'hizeisa al Aharon v'al begadav, and you shall sprinkle it on Aaron and on his clothing, v'al banav, and on his sons, v'al bigdei banav, and on the clothing of his sons, ito with him, v'kadash hu uvgadav, and he will become sanctified and his clothing, uvanav uvigdei banav ito, and his sons and the clothing of his sons with him. So they will become sanctified through this sprinkling of the blood along with some of the anointing oil.
What was this sacrifice called?
It's a shlamim. This is a peace offering.
Shlamim.
Yeah. Now, we already had the anointing oil was used back on, it's the previous page on 474. We already had the oil in Pasuk Vav, in verse 6, it says, you shall take from the anointing oil, and you will pour it on his head and anoint him. That's Aaron. So the anointing oil was placed on Aaron already on his head. But some of the anointing oil was also used to sprinkle on Aaron and his sons, along with the blood from the sacrifice. And this is not the first time we've had blood from a sacrifice sprinkled on people. When did we have it the other time? Anybody remember? If you look back in Parshas Mishpatim, at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, which is when the Torah describes the experience at Har Sinai a second time. It was described in Parshas Yisro, and then at the end of Mishpatim, it is described again.
Mm-hmm.
So on page 440, in Pasuk Ches, in verse 8, it says, Vayikach Moshe es hadam, Moshe took the blood from the sacrifices, Vayizrok al ha'am, and he threw it on the people. Vayomer, and he said, Hinei dam habris, behold the blood of the covenant, asher karas Hashem imachem, that Hashem has made with you, al kol advarim ha'ela, and all these things. And our sages tell us that we entered the covenant with Hashem with Mila, circumcision for the men, Tevila, going to the mikvah that was for everybody, and Hartzah's damim, and the sprinkling of the blood on the people, throwing of the blood on the people. So here, Aaron and his sons get a sprinkling of blood along with anointing oil, which mimics what happened to all the Jewish people not so long ago when we got the Torah at Har Sinai, not so long before this incident here. So it's not, and it's not, this is not a, this is not a brand new concept of somehow the sprinkling of blood on the people elevates their status. We went from being regular people to becoming Jews, and here Aaron and his sons go from being regular Jews to becoming Kohanim with the sprinkling of the blood and the anointing oil on them.
And on their clothing.
And on their clothing, because their clothing also is being elevated in status. That's correct. Okay, good point.
Okay. Ask a question here.
Yeah.
It always seemed very strange to me that you put blood on clothing. I mean, was the clothing retired after this? Do they keep wearing it? Why sanctify this clothing if it wasn't put aside? It was used.
Okay.
And Aaron had two types of clothing.
Well, this is the clothing it was worn daily, not the clothing for Yom Kippur.
So it was washed and reused or was not?
The clothing would eventually be washed and reused. I don't know if they wash it right now, but but we're not done yet with this sacrifice. So far, we've just described what happened with the blood. It was put on the altar. It was put on their right ear, right thumb, and right big toe. And now it was also sprinkled on the people along with the anointing oil. But what about the rest of the animal? So Pasuk Chaf Beis, verse 22. V'lakachta min ha'ayil, you shall take from the ram, ha'chelev v'ha'alya, the fat and the tail, v'es ha'chelev ha'mechaseh ha'kerev, and the fat that covers the stomach, v'es yoseret ha'kaved, and this is the fat with the liver, v'es shtei ha'klayos, and the two kidneys, v'es ha'chelev asher alayin, and the fat that was on them, v'es shok ha'yamin, now, and also the right leg. Now, that's an important line. The ace shok hayamin, and the right leg. That's the right hind leg. We'll talk about that in a moment. Ki el miluim hu, for this is a ram of miluim. Now, I told you that these 7 days are called the miluim, which are the days of inauguration of the Mishkan, of the altar, really. This sacrifice particularly, this shlamim, this peace offering, was called the miluim sacrifice. This is the main one. And because it is an el miluim, it's a ram of the miluim, there is a difference in what happens to the animal. In addition to the difference with the blood, which we already described, there's also a difference in what happens to the animal. You're going to take all these fats, and also part of the liver, and you're also going to take the two kidneys, and you're also going to take the right hind leg. And what are you going to do with it? Well, there's more you're going to take. Next pasuk on page 478, pasuk Chaf Gimel 23, V'chikar lechem achas, and one loaf of bread. V'chalas lechem shemen, and one loaf of oil bread. I'm sorry, I stopped one word too early. V'chalas lechem shemen achas, and one loaf of oil bread. V'rakik echad, and one, literally means cracker. These are the three different types of matzah that were brought for the miluim. Each one, there were 10 of each type brought. That means there were 30 types. We'll call them loaves, but they were really matzah. 30 loaves that were brought. You're going to take one of each type, leaving behind 27. 9 of each are going to be left behind. You're going to take one of each. Misala matzos, from the basket of matzos, Hashem lifnei Hashem, that is before Hashem. So you're going to take all these things, all the fats, the right hind leg, and the three loaves, one of each type. V'samta kol al kapei Aaron, you shall place all of this on the palms of Aaron. V'al kapei vanav, on the palms of his sons. V'hinafto esam tunufa lifnei Hashem, and they shall be waved as a waving before Hashem. The waving that is described in the Chumash is exactly the same as the way that we wave a lulav and esrog. That would be the way that we can appreciate what was done. It waved means it is moved in each direction, all four directions, and up and down. What order they did it in, I'm not sure, but it's similar to what we do with a lulav and esrog. That's what they did with the fats and with the...
They held them in their hands?
Yes, they did.
And
yep.
The legs, mm-hmm. They held all
that, yep. Yeah, I don't know if it was all done at once. I think it was. But it was all held in their hands.
And you wave it?
Yeah. It is.
All this stuff?
Yep. V'lakachto esam miyadam. You shall take them from their hands. V'hiktarta hamizbecha al ha'ola. And you shall burn them on the altar on the ola. Meaning, because the ola was already burned on the altar. So this is the next thing that's burned on the altar. L'reach nicholach lifnei Hashem. This is as a pleasant aroma before Hashem. Yishehu laHashem. It is a fire offering to Hashem. One more pasuk. V'lakachta. Actually, one second. I'm not sure if I want to do one more. Hold on. Okay. Actually, before, I'm not going to... Let's stop here for the moment and discuss what we've read until here. So he was told to take all the fats, the right hind leg, and one loaf of each of the breads, and burn them. Now here we have a combination of things which were normally done, things that were never done, and things that were done in some sacrifices and not in others. In all shlamim sacrifices, all peace offerings, the fats were burned, and the process of doing tenufa, of waving the fats, was, depending on the type of sacrifice, was a typical thing to do, that the fats were waved. They were held and waved. They were held both by the person bringing the sacrifice and the kohen. The kohen would put his hands underneath the hands of the person waving them, and together they would wave the sacrifices, the fats, in all directions before the fats were burned. The right hind leg was never burned, not of a shlamim. The right hind leg was eaten by the kohanim.
Mm-hmm.
And so was the chest, the chazeh. The chest and the right hind leg were the portion that went to the kohanim. Now here, the kohanim are being inaugurated. So there is no kohen. Who is the acting kohen? Moshe. We're going to find that the chest will be given to Moshe to eat, as if he were a kohen. But the right hind leg will not be given to Moshe to eat, and instead it will be burned. Similarly, there are some sacrifices in which bread, which really means matzah, loaves, are brought with those sacrifices. The Karban Todah, the Thanksgiving offering, has loaves that are offered with it. And one of the Karbanos of a Nazir has loaves that are brought with it. In all cases, when loaves are brought, whatever types the Torah prescribes to be brought, there are 10 loaves. And in each case, 9 are kept and eaten by the one bringing the sacrifice, and 1 of each type is removed, but it's not burned. It's eaten by the Kohen. In this case, it was burned. So here we have an interesting thing, that the Torah is saying that the right hind leg and the one of each loaf, which are normally given to the Kohen to eat, in this case, they're going to be burned. The only thing that is typically given to a Kohen, which in this case will go to Moshe as the acting Kohen, we haven't gotten to it yet, but it'll be the chest. Whereas the rest of the animal and the rest of the loaves will be eaten by Aaron and his sons when typically they're eaten by the owner of the sacrifice. Meaning the Kohen is usually the person who doesn't own the sacrifice. He's the one who gets the right hind leg, the chest, and the one of each loaf of bread, if there is any bread. In this case, only the chest is being eaten by the Kohen stand-in, only the one who's filling in for the Kohen. Whereas the loaves, which would have been eaten by the Kohen, and the right hind leg, they're burned. And Aaron and his sons are going to eat the rest of the meat, and they're also going to eat the 27 remaining loaves, 9 of each type, that's going to be left over. That's going to be the food that they're going to eat daily for these 7 days. We don't have time tonight to read through the rest of it, but we will see that it's going to be the need to eat it each day. If there's anything left over, it's going to have to be burned. All that is going to follow the same rules as typical carbonos. The waving process was typically done, as I mentioned, the owner of the sacrifice held the whatever had to be waved, and then the Kohen had his hand underneath. Well, in this case, Aaron and his sons are the owners, so they have their hands on top. Moshe has his hands underneath as the acting Kohen. So Moshe is going to be sort of doing what Kohanim do, but sort of not. He's not going to get all the privileges of the Kohanim. He's going to get some. Aaron and his sons are going to be acting as the owners of the carbon. One last point before we have to stop for this evening, and that is the placement of the blood and the placement of the blood on the right middle of the right ear, on the thumb and on the big toe. There is another place in the Torah where that is done. And that is done with a person who has tzara'as. A person who gets the punishment of tzara'as and then has to, after he becomes purified, he has to bring karbanos. So when in that process of purification, blood and oil is placed on the middle of his right ear, on the right thumb, and on the right big toe. So here we have some interesting similarities between what you do here and what you do with tzara'as. The loaves of bread, you have an interesting similarity with what you do here and what you do with a karban todah, Thanksgiving offering, and a nazir karban. So we seem to be bringing in various types of things that you find in other, we'll call them unusual karbanos, and they all find some expression over here. Plus we have the sprinkling of the blood on the people, which harkens back to what happened at Har Sinai. So it seems that in the Miluim process, Hashem is bringing in parts. And as I mentioned to you, I hope that this is going to be a recurring issue until we get through all of the karbanos here. The Torah here presumes that we know all of this already from other places. As the Torah presumes that we understand that all of this is being brought in from other places.
Why the right ear?
Excuse me?
Why the right ear, the toe?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's a good question. Remember, I told you last week, no whys yet, only whats. We first have to get through all the whats.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, And if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.